Hello, this is Vlad, and you are listening to Olafil's Fantasy Podcast.
All right, Jeff, we're done talking about the Emmy noms. We'll get into that in a minute. Make sure we're recording, all set behind the curtain, peek behind the kimono. It is a wonderful Wednesday here in late July. Just so everybody is aware, and Jeff, you're aware too, we did finish the Disney Song March Madness before the NBA season starts. I kind of just wrote that little footnote in my mind because the NBA season does start, I believe, either tonight or tomorrow. The baseball season is officially canceled. Not really, but we'll get into that in a little bit as well. That sport is just failing hard. Emmy nominations, TV shows, EPL. A mock draft again, Jeff. We talked about it last week, a little bit of a tease about what we're going to do today, and we'll get started with that once we kind of get through the rigmarole of the intro here. But Jeff, this is the 20th day in a row in Charlotte of 90 degrees. So let's just say summer is here, but I'm doing all right. How are you?
90 degrees, Will. Woo, that is spicy. I'm doing good. I'm happy to be here. Lot to get to today. I don't even know if you tease it on the top. We're doing another mock draft, zero RB strategy. There's just so much going on in the world, in the pod. But I'm here with you. We're here. We got a lot to get to. Do we want to go? We're picking from the same spot again, right? We want to keep everything the same and kind of think about how our team. So I'm going right here. You know, making sure that all the settings are correct. And while you're doing that, while I'm doing that, Will, why don't you, I don't know, which Emmy kind of noms, snubs stood out to you?
So Emmys came out, nominations came out yesterday. And the one that really, when Twitter and Instagram was ablaze was when Zendaya was one of the nominated for lead actress in a drama or whatever. For Euphoria. Ashley and I, we love that show. That show was fantastic. It was great to see her get nominated. Obviously, she's, you know, young, at least at this point, young-ish, former child star, whatever you want to call it. And just to see her get nominated with all these big guns is great. Now, I'm not a big Emmy, Oscar, whatever, Grammy guy. But once you start getting pulled in, you have to look at everything else, right? And... Wow, shout out to Moogs. So
not happy about it. So.
Not happy about what I'm about to say here. These big names, Jeff, and then eventually we'll get to your thoughts on this because you are the Apple TV Plus reviewer of the week. And several people from the Apple Plus TV, I don't even know what to call it, Apple TV Plus lineup nominated. You got your Jennifer Anistons. You got your Steve Carells in shows that, you know, not really big hits. So not sure where these are coming from. They're big names. Looking at Saturday Night Live getting like three nominations. Kate McKinnon, I mean, whew, she might be like the most overrated actress in the entire world. The history, the universe even. There might be shows going on Pluto that have better actresses than Kate McKinnon. I can't be the only person who thinks she's not funny. Like, I mean, I just stare at a brick wall when I'm watching her and I'm just trying to laugh and I won't make it happen. Cecily Strong, you dropped her name. No one even knows who she is, but I will tell you who she is. I think she's the girl in the Triscuit commercial. And like, there's like that Triscuit commercial, like, oh, non-GMO, non-genetically modified. And she just kind of says that I'm non-genetically modified. And then she winks. So that's Cecily Strong. I think I might be wrong, but she also gets nominated for a show that really, I mean, people rag on it a lot, which is kind of the cool thing to do. Not, you know, Saturday Night Live, not the greatest thing in the world. And Jeff, we have a couple great shows that we watch ourselves, including Best Comedy Series. I mean, this thing is absolutely loaded. Curb Your Enthusiasm, Dead to Me, The Good Place, and the show of the pod, What We Do in the Shadows. I'm a big Curb Your Enthusiasm fan. And that season, this latest season, season 10, was absolutely loaded. Strong. Every episode, I think, was at least an 8. What We Do in the Shadows, season 2, not the greatest. Now, did it have possibly the greatest moment or even episode in the series so far with Jackie Daytona? That's arguable. Definitely arguable you can say that. So if we're doing it as a basis of the current season, I don't know if what we do in the shadows wins, but I would be excited to see if it does pull it out. And I do have one more thing. Did you watch the Will Ferrell like singing movie?
Yes.
Okay. Did you notice the cameo in that movie from someone, What We Do in the Shadows?
Who was it?
It was Nadia. She was the like choreographer. She was like the choreographer's assistant or whatever. Like, remember they hire the choreographer to do all the dancing and stuff. And she comes in and I'm like, that voice is so familiar. I was like, oh my God, who is that? And she has like 10 or 12 lines. Like, she talks for a while. So I had to look it up and I was like, oh my God, what do you know? Nadia. Anyway, that movie was, you know, it was fine. But the Emmys, probably not going to watch. I mean, who even knows how these are going to be, right? Aren't they going to be like all virtual or something? I mean, I don't even know when they are.
I'm excited. Fun was the red carpet. I'm just seeing everyone's dresses.
Can't wait for that. Ooh, that'd be great. Masks. Ooh, and they're wearing a mask from Gucci. I might like that, actually. Might have to bring it back, actually. Get the masks and the sponsors from the masks. Anything stick out to you, Jeff? Any Disney Plus, Disney Plus, Apple TV Plus, you know, hate towards this or well-deserved for the big names?
You know, I think the morning show, and I'm pretty sure I said it on the pod that, that Jennifer Aniston did a really good job and, gosh, I'm blanking on her name, but the other primary actress did a good job. But Steve Carell, I think that's riding on some name power right there. Mm-hmm. I don't think he has a chance with the two Succession guys and Jason Bateman and the best actor for a drama. But yeah, I'm scrolling through here. I'm trying to find a couple other Apple Pluses. There's not a ton. Shout out to Andre Brauer, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, Captain Raymond Holt, supporting actor, comedy, another show of the pod, long time show of the pod, getting the nod there. The one thing I'll say is that Killing Eve, I've heard a lot of things about this show. Mm-hmm. I can't seem to, like, I think it's on Hulu, but it's only season 3 on Hulu or something like that. They're getting a lot of nods. We got Sandra Oh and another actress nominated. I believe there's, you know, a supporting actor nominated as well. I've heard positive things. I need to figure out a way to maybe jerry-rig and get it.
It's on AMC. Okay. And I have seen previews a lot for it. It has entered the ether of my brain as to try to watch it. Just hasn't really... Oh, here you go. Billy Crudup, another morning show. Oh my God, more morning shows. Wait a minute. Billy Crudup and Mark Duplass. Mark Duplass is in there, huh? Going up against Giancarlo Esposito, by the way, and three Succession actors. Jesus.
Yeah, I would say Duplass was very good in the morning show as well. But the overall plot was just kind of a dud. But you know what's not a dud, Will? Guess who fell to us in our 12-team?
Oh, wow. My yes, I forgot we're
zero
back.
Zero RB strategy.
Okay, here we go.
So round one, let me just pull it up here. There's also some delicious names in this. We get Jurassic Chark picking right before us.
Oh, yes. These names are great.
So the draft went McCaffrey, Barkley, Michael Thomas going off at 3, Zeke, Kamara, Mixon, Devontae Adams, DeAndre Hopkins, Tyreek Hill, Derrick Henry, Dalvin Cook, and the man, the myth, the legend.
Miles Sanders.
No, that's it.
Oh, that's it. Oh.
So we have Julio Jones as an option. That's who I would recommend. Let me pull up the other.
Well, we're going to go back to back here.
Yep. So there's Julio, there's Chris Godwin, Kenny Galladay, Allen Robinson, Mike Evans, and we're getting into Juju, Amari Cooper. Oh, you seem strained in your voice. I thought it was a blessing that we were, you know, dropped Julio on our lap.
Well, no, Julio's good. I'm thinking the second pick. I don't know who we're going to take at that second pick. Julio's the first one for sure.
Okay. Can I lock that in? Do I have
yeah,
both
you can
approval?
Lock it
okay.
in, Julio.
Locked in.
Yeah, because we don't need a Marvin Jones on our hands. But now here's the thing. If we're going zero RB, the whole goal is to get two, like, stud wide receivers, right? Or maybe even that stud tight end, I guess. I don't know. I'm guessing Kelsey's still available.
Oh, I didn't even think that. That's a tasty little strat. Yeah, Kelsey. Well, obviously, all the tight ends are available.
Yeah, I mean, tight end, as we know, is a wasteland. What's in your mind? Because the next wide receiver you said was Galladay, and we talked about him last week. I like Galladay, but not as your second pick. At least this second pick.
Okay, my thoughts are either we get Kelsey, and then we get another good wide receiver, hopefully in a similar tier. Or we go Galladay and then hope Kittle comes back in the next round. But that's a long time from now.
I don't think that's 20 picks from now.
Yeah. His ADP is 20 right now, so it's highly unlikely.
What's Mahomes' ADP right now on the site you're looking at?
Mahomes is 19.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
So he won't make it back either. Because I would say if you could pair up Kelsey and Mahomes, ooh.
I mean, there's a possibility. Let's just go Kelsey. I think we're both kind of leaning that way. Let's do it. This is just for the listeners. See how it looks. You know. Picked Kelsey. All right.
Locked in.
Our boy Miles Sanders went right after Kelsey. So.
Oh, good. That's great. Okay. So that's that. You know, that's enough Emmy talk. You talked about Mark Duplass. Good for him. And, you know, that show. We're over it. We're over Apple TV. We got to get your next review at some point. But corporate was back. Definitely with the times, by the way. I mean, they were all in, buying into the streaming services, clever names and everything. I happened to like that episode. I thought it was a strong start. Definitely touched on a lot of stuff. I loved the making fun of kind of like the viral videos, viral nonsensical programming, aka Pickles for Breakfast, was the name of the hit TV show that was kind of gaining popularity in this show. But this is kind of a little known show. I had no idea they were making a season 3. Caught me off guard. What were your thoughts on this season debut?
Well, considering I live Pickles for Breakfast every day, I watch these shows on Netflix and YouTube for Kellen that are just, you know, they're all nursery rhymes and all the animation is really like whacked out. And it's hard for me to distill, you know, what is and what is not Chinese propaganda that's coming through my TV. So I can only imagine that some of it is just purely generated by a computer. So it really hit home. But I think it was a very strong episode to start. If you enjoyed corporate of the past, they definitely, you know, got some through lines with The Society Tomorrow, and kind of playing off the Game of Thrones ending and all that. And I thought that was very clever. Yeah, I think it's good. New episode tonight, I believe? Question mark.
I would think so. I think so. I'm not positive, but how about the guest stars, by the way? Like literally that entire lineup of The Society Tomorrow was like all like those SNL alums, right? It was Kristen Wiig.
Oh yeah.
It was who was the guy? Who's that guy? He in Portlandia. What's his name? He's in like everything.
Yeah, I know who you're talking.
I can't think of his name. Yeah, the weird dude.
Yeah,
who did the glasses? I mean, whatever. There's two of them right there. That was pretty funny. And I liked the streaming battles and the talks about like, you know, who can make a good ending to a show and everything. I thought it was great. Really good, strong start, and I loved the animosity at the viewing party.
Oh yeah,
they have like this giant viewing party, and everyone's like kind of talking about who's watching and who thinks it's a good ending. And it was really good, clever episode for really corporate. That's the non sports stuff. I mean, anything else you got before we get to the actual sports?
Well, I mean, I did watch another Apple Plus TV show. I watched episode one.
What
of
is this?
C. It is the Jason Momoa.
Oh no!
Everyone is blind.
Oh, you said C. You said C. Episode one. Yeah, I get it now. I was confused when you said that. I was like, episode one of what? Okay. All right. Lay it on me. No Emmy noms for that show.
And for good reason, because it is. I mean, It definitely, like, everyone is blind, obviously. So half the show is, and I'm no hating on any disabled people. I mean, they just have a tough time getting around. You know, they move a bit slower. So in one scene, I'm supposed to believe that, you know, they have all these intricate systems for getting around. And then in the next scene, they're engaged in a full-on battle where Jason Momoa is, like, MMA style, like, putting people in figure fours and doing armbars and stuff.
figure fours.
So it's just, it's an interesting concept. I don't think I'll be diving deeper, but I said the same thing about, you know, Mythic Quest and the old Apple Plus, but now that corporate's here, I think that's going to be my mainstay. When Shay's away, Jeff will play show. So we got another pick though, Will.
All right,
not another okay, thrilling review on Apple Plus.
No, they're really, really struggling. But I did see the preview for that Tom Hanks movie.
Oh, that's great. Like we watched that
war movie. It looks. Okay. See. All right. What's that called? I don't even know.
Greyhound.
Greyhound. Right. Grey. Yeah.
It is.
Looks pretty good.
It's kind of. They do a good job because it's super fast-paced. They dive right into it and kind of you learn about the characters as the action is happening, which I really liked. And it's a cool story. I mean, Tom Hanks, obviously, I mean, the actor of a generation, does a great job. Yeah, I mean, it's not worth signing up for the, you know, the platform for, but it's great.
All right, we got another pick.
Another pick.
Let's make it happen.
After we picked, you know, a lot of running backs off the board and a lot of wide receivers, Miles Sanders, Nick Chubb, Allen Robinson, Chris Godwin went, Aaron Jones, Kenyon Drake, Josh Jacobs, Eckler, Kittle went almost at the turn of the second round. Kenny Golladay went, Mike Evans, Clive Edwards-Hilaire, Lamar Jackson and Pat Mahomes both went. Amari Cooper, Juju, DJ Moore gone. Adam Thielen gone. Cooper Kupp gone. Leonard Fournette and Chris Carson both gone. And I was sad because Odell Beckham went right before us to Jurassic Chark. Okay.
That's a good name.
I know that you said you did one and you liked it. This is where it gets a little, you know, a little reachy in my book. So we've obviously got tight end locked up. I know in the ship last year, I believe you did a two tight end strategy. Here's kind of who is and on the tight end front, I believe Mark Andrews and Zach Ertz are available. Yeah. On the wide receiver front, they have A.J. Brown of the Titans, Robert Woods, Calvin Ridley, Cortland Sutton. FC West. So let's look at quarterback as well as Dak. Dak, Russell Wilson, Kyler, Deshaun. So there's plenty of options there. Quarterbacks. So I feel like we go an upside and a safe guy here. I don't know what your thoughts are, Will. We got Julio.
I want you to read off the couple running backs just to see what is there and what is going to be gone in, you know, in the next two picks.
So the big name tier, Todd Gurley, Melvin Gordon, James Conner, Le'Veon Bell, David Johnson, Jonathan Taylor, Mark Ingram.
Le'Veon's still there.
David Montgomery.
Ooh, I like Mark. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Then it gets
really bad. So we got two picks here. Yeah. How do you feel about taking, you know, one wide receiver and then one running back? Just our number one running back is going to be someone like a Mark Ingram or a Le'Veon Bell.
I don't know what the, zero RB gods would tell us if we are. I guess if we picked them fourth, maybe that would be okay. I have no problem going that route. As long as we pick another wide receiver and then probably at least one
Which wide receiver speaks to you, though? Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Which wide receiver speaks to you here?
These guys are tough. I mean, A.J. Brown, the man among boys, as they say. I mean, he's got to regress a little bit. And I forget what it was, the yards after the catch or the average depth of target.
But a lot
huge.
Of it was with Tannehill.
Yeah.
And now Tannehill is the whole year.
Yep. I don't dislike him. I just think third is just a little high. Yeah. Robert Woods is just like, you know, he's not going to make your week.
Steady Eddie.
Steady like, Eddie.
Yeah.
Calvin Ridley, I think we can't do that because we have Julio.
Nope.
Cortland Sutton, again, not loving the Drew Lock and the Jerry Jeudy situation there. Tyler Lockett is kind of interesting.
I've always liked Tyler Lockett. He's always that, like, he'll get, he like, a poor man's Tyreek Hill, I guess. He'll get you 18 points every other week and then, you know, two.
Yeah. It's just a...
You want to go upside? I mean, that is upside. He has the potential. I like it. I like Tyler Lockett. Let's lock it in.
Locking it in. And then we'll come back and we will do Le'Veon. We agreed on?
I don't know. Hold on. What if we did just... You want to do the zero RB gods.
Yeah.
What if we did do like a Keenan Allen to go along with Julio and Tyler Lockett?
Oh, I love it. Let's do it.
Ooh, a little
lock in Keenan
Let's
Allen.
Let's do it. All right, let's do the zero RBs. Take it, zero RBs. Lock it in.
There we go.
All right, so Jeff, let's take it to the EPL ranks.
Oh, yeah.
We'll move on, and then we'll get our mock draft on after we discuss this. Quite a day on Sunday. And in classic, let me just shout out one of our friends, classic muffin form. I mean, I could have called this days before. It was, he's going to be the only one talking about, you know, the Watford-Arsenal game. Everyone else is talking about, you know, Man City, Leicester, or Wolves, Chelsea. Here comes Muff in the chat. Oh my, Watford! And you're just like, oh god, really? The one dude who's watching, or Aston Villa.
Yep.
You know, he's watching that match. Because he has obviously, he knows what he's talking about, but it's just funny. I knew it, that everyone would be talking about the other three big matches, and he's talking about the relegation zones. What were your thoughts watching Sunday? Chelsea, Wolves, bit of a donker for my Wolves. I mean, listen, that dive, or whatever I call it, that flop was not
flopperini.
The sole reason they lost, but you know, it definitely started the kind of downhill spiral for them. What were your thoughts on Sunday? Anything, was it as exciting as you thought it would be, or just kind of as expected?
Yeah, I think the first halves were exciting for the top teams, until both Man U and Chelsea scored later on in the first halves, and then you know, Wolves never really looked to challenge. I think they had a couple good opportunities, but other than that, the one thing I'd say is, like, I don't know why, if all the games are on your own platforms, why you can't have like a little box of short replay from another game or something like that. Like, oh, they scored, here's the goal. You know, or do a better job with, I think the NFL does a pretty good job of showing the scores from the other games that are going on.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just, that just wasn't happening. So I had to, like, check my phone, or to your point, check the chat to see what else was going on. So when you have a final day like this where a lot of things are to be decided, I feel like the commentators and the platform could do a better job of, you know, negotiating everything, because while we were probably watching Chelsea Wolves, I would have liked to have known what was going on around the league and other results and things that were happening. The Cherries and the Hornets both down. tough day. But you know, it was crazy. Well, I was like, okay, they finished. You know, it's end of July. When do they start back up? And they're going right into Champions League. Well, FA Cup final this weekend, then right into Champions League. I think there's another, like, money grab tournament. And then they're right back at it. EPL starts back up September 12th. So we are literally a month and a week and a half away from, you know, the Premier League starting back up again. So get up for it, Boyles. I mean, I was thinking that soccer was lucky compared to someone like baseball, where they could just kind of keep them all in bubbles. They only had 9 games. They only had to make it that far. But now, I mean, they're in a week and a half. They're getting back in now to the start of the season. So they could run into some baseball woes as the players maybe wane of this, bubble lifestyle.
Can you help educate me on something? So when I was watching Wolves-Chelsea, you know, Wolves were losing. And then I think Wolves, or the commentators were talking about, the Wolves would be rooting for Chelsea in the FA Cup final. Why is that?
Yeah. I believe the winner of the FA Cup gets the automatic qualifying, like, or the automatic, yeah, into the Europa.
There we go. Okay. So it's, I got it now. It's similar to like an NCAA like tournament, right? Like a bubble, yep, team. I get it. That's why I was kind of putting that together. Okay. So then that would, but Wolves ended up finishing in 7th or 8th because of Tottenham. Tottenham tied.
I believe they ended up in...
in 7th, actually.
7th.
I think. Okay, so they would end up going to...
I believe they would do like a play-in of Europa.
Gotcha. Yeah. Now, see? The more you know. People think you don't learn anything here.
All right.
All right. So, yeah, September 12th, I believe you mentioned... a month and 12 days. So there you go. Liverpool's reign as champion, not the longest.
Nope. Back to the title defense. They go. But I'll say Adama Traore on Wolves might be one of my favorite players to watch. Just his size, his speed, mm-hmm, just compared to everyone else is insane. I mean, and he is pretty nimble on the ball. He does like these little touches and he'll give you a little shoulder shake and then he's off. Great ball delivery.
You know, it's funny because in FIFA, he's not, I mean, he is fast in the game FIFA, but he's not really good with the ball in FIFA. Like you can just run straight line speed pretty much. But yeah, like I think he's a lefty. I'm not quite sure, but he's got, his thighs are like the thickest things on this side of the,
on this side of the
Western Hemisphere.
Yeah. I just want to see.
All right. Let's do one more round of this mock, and then we'll get to the NFL stuff.
All right. So after we took Keenan Allen, pretty much all the running back options that we discussed last time are off the board. Le'Veon Bell went, Todd Gurley went, David Johnson went, James Conner, Melvin Gordon, Mark Ingram, Singletary, Dak Prescott went, tight end kind of dried up, Mark Andrews, Zach Ertz, and Darren Waller all went, and a lot of those stable wide receiver twos that you'd think about, flex guys, Robert Woods, AJ Brown, Calvin Ridley, Sutton, Devontae Parker, Detjark, DK Metcalf, Terry McLaurin, T.Y. Hilton, and Jarvis all went. But do we do this, Will? Mm. We're faced with kind of a conundrum of the pod, I will say. We're sitting here, 5th round, 12th pick. And our boy, Stephon Diggs, is staring us in the face.
No, we can't. Oh, that sucks. Damn. All right.
Diggs, dude.
We can't. We got too much. We got too much talent.
Yeah, it's tough. So we're now looking, I mean, running back, why? Did Deshaun Watson go? No. Russell Wilson, Deshaun Watson still on the board.
My God. Ooh, we got to lock it.
Running back, I think we have to get something here, okay? We have to get something, and there is not a lot.
Oh, no, for sure.
Not a lot to get here.
But what do we got, running back-wise? What do we got?
David Montgomery, Raheem Mostert, Cam Akers, Kareem Hunt, DeAndre Swift, Darius Geis, Ronald Jones, James White, Jordan Howard, Damian Williams, and then it's all backup city.
So we can go, I think this, if we want to go running back, we can. If we want to do one running back and get Deshaun or Russell Wilson, I'm down with that. I think Russell would probably be my pick only because the offense in Houston, not exactly sure how that's going to go without DeAndre.
Okay.
We have Tyler Lockett. So I like the Russell Wilson pick. As far as running back go, I mean, I think do we just take a swing and go with DeAndre Swift? Do we... try to get, I mean, I think if we do that with running backs, that's what we do, right? We go with the rookies because those are the ones who are going to fall to us. So
okay,
let's hear your thoughts.
Well, I think I'd want to get one established guy, and then to your point, just get like four upside guys.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, we could just go all unknowns and hope that we hit two. I don't know. This is tough. I mean, I don't like David Montgomery. He's probably the only real presumed starter out of any of these guys. other than maybe Ronald Jones, but he's just like a complete unknown. I mean, Damian Williams is there too. Ooh. So you're leaning the old Swifty, huh? You're a Swifty guy.
I mean, I'm not. I mean, I can easily be swayed. I do like Damian Williams as a late. If we can wait one more round of picks and get Damian Williams, I'd be fine with that.
Okay. Raheem Mostert contract situation settled now.
Yeah, but that, I'm staying away from that 49ers running back situation. I guess. I mean, dare we go Montgomery? He's not threatened by anyone. I mean, that's just nope. He may not be good, but it's not to worry about. You know, might Tariq be Cohen stealing 20 touches.
Yeah, and you know, Nick Foles likely the quarterback. Maybe the offense gets a little bit more going. I'd be fine, you know, with David Montgomery. He's going to be in a sea of upside guys, so at least have one starter that we can plug in our RB1. And
yeah.
I think we do that. I think we do Russell Wilson. Are we aligned?
All right. Lock it in.
Locked in. David
Montgomery. We are aligned.
And now going and picking Russell Wilson. NFL news, Will. Lots happening in our league.
Yeah, actually lots. Actually lots in our league, the National Football League. So a couple of contract situations. Dalvin Cook decides to show up, which is very interesting. Like, if there's going to be a year of holdout, wouldn't it be, I mean, this one? Yeah, where exactly. You don't have to kind of show up and get coronavirus. But he showed up to camp, so good for him. And this one kind of came out of nowhere. Not really a contract situation, but definitely had the chance to be one. The Chargers don't really pay their guys a ton of money. Joey Bosa out of the woodwork last night. Biggest contract ever for a defensive player. He got about 76 million guaranteed, like $135 million contract for the next 6 years. Joey Bosa not going anywhere. Going to be the face of the Los Angeles Chargers in SoFi? Sophie's Choice Stadium. Good on them. I mean, wow. The Chargers making their guy stay after their horrible kind of, they had a holdout when his rookie season, the dad was involved. I mean, yep. can't get Papa Bosa in there, Papa Big Bear. Good on the Chargers getting in on that. Caught me by surprise, and I'm sure other Charger fans by surprise. Dalvin Cook reporting, though, that's big news for you and your little fantasy upside corner, right?
Oh, yeah. I think he did it to your earlier point, Will, because of how he then, the whole contract situation. He then becomes an unrestricted free agent, and if he would have sat out, he would have been a restricted free agent. I don't know. It has to do with seasons counting towards your rookie deal and things of that nature. But,
yeah.
Again, I think, you know, it was definitely the weirdest potential non-holdout of all time. Just said, I'm holding out, and then he just reported. So everyone seems to think all systems go. Start drafting him as a top five running back. I mean, there has to be some semblance of risk, you'd think, outside of the normal COVID stuff. If Le'Veon Bell has taught us anything, it's never trust these situations. And I think if he, you know, if you add that little layer, you're probably not getting him in fantasy drafts just because there is someone who's going to, you know, take him as the fourth or fifth running back. And there are just other people there that I'd probably prefer. But it's good. It's good for our league, and it's good for fantasy football.
Speaking of COVID,
oh yeah,
this kind of has been coming out of nowhere. More and more NFL players have been opting out. And talk about a team. The Patriots, I think, have about six players now who are deciding to opt out. They have so many that I just put Patriots on the rundown instead of the amount of players. They lose their right tackle, Marcus Cannon. They lose their leader on the defense, Dante Hightower. I believe Patrick Chung is sitting out.
Yep.
I mean, that's just three. Those are three starters. I'm sure there's a couple that I missed, but those are like the three big names that I saw. Is it COVID? Is it Bill Belichick? I don't know. But they don't want to play this year. And that's going to really put a damper on them. Devin Funchess. I mean, Aaron Aaron Rodgers, I mean, the Packers spend all this money to get their guy, Devin Funchess, to be the wide receiver two to Devontae Adams, and look what happens. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is probably just putting a couple bottles of bleach deep right now.
He's got
this quarterback behind him, Jordan Love, that they spent their only skill position player on him. And then, you know, Devin Funchess decides to retire. Or, no, I'm sorry, to sit out this season. So that's a big name there. And Devin. The medical doctor, Chiefs offensive lineman. It's like, what is his name? Like Lawrence Tardif or something like that. Medical doctor, offensive lineman. He is also opting out. Do we expect Laurent more and more Duvalier players?
Tardif.
More and more of these players, Jeff, to sit out. This is kind of surprising to me, to be honest.
This was, okay. I will say, on the one hand, it's surprising. I don't think it's going to create like a, you know, tidal wave or an avalanche of sorts. I think you're going to see probably a couple others. I mean, other than the Patriots guys, these aren't big name stars set to make a ton of money. So you'd think a lot of them are because they have, you know, risk factors or they have someone at home or in their family that they're trying to protect.
Exactly.
But frankly, a lot of these guys are, you know, single, young, and healthy. So I think they're in it. They got to make the most out of their careers, and people will tend towards the money. So we may see a couple more. I don't think we'll see any big names. I think if anyone super – like if a Mike Trout equivalent was thinking about it, I feel like the NFL would step in and have a conversation and you know, give some reassurances and making sure that someone like a Pat Mahomes is playing this year.
I don't want to get into the total NFL top 100 list because it's a lot, and I feel like that would take its own pod in its own right. I just want to kind of say it's nonsense. Some of these players are just – it says it's ranked by the players, for the players, I guess. Like they rank each other, which doesn't make any sense to me because I feel like a lot of them don't like each other, but maybe they do. I don't know. But just kind of giving you some names here, and you saw I sent you some. So Jimmy Garoppolo is number 43. Like, first of all, if they didn't make that run in the playoffs, he would probably not even make the top 100. Number 12 is Drew Brees. I mean, the dude missed 5 games, so I don't know what happened. They went 5-0 without him, but I think they went 5-0. Teddy Bridgewater won every game without him. Number 12, Drew Brees. Number 14, Tom Brady.
Oh, come on now.
This is supposedly the top 100 player. Then what was the one I – oh, yeah, Todd Gurley. Todd Gurley, number 51 on the top 100 over, you know, a player like Chris Jones for the Chiefs, who is arguably their second best player maybe on that team because he is such a havoc on there, on that defensive line for the Chiefs. It's just like talking points to me. I don't understand how these things even like come about, and it's just shocking. I love this is what Twitter's made for, though, right?
Oh yeah,
watching the people just doing question marks and emojis, like what? But your boy Jamal Adams, he's up there. I don't know where he is, but whatever, he's a top 100 player. Segway. I mean, just classic, another guy who doesn't like where he's playing and gets shipped to a team that always trades for these players, whether it's the Patriots, the Seahawks, the Ravens, right? Those are teams who always kind of make the big move that no one else will do. And Jamal Adams goes to the Seahawks for like 2 first-round picks, a second, a third, and a player. So Earl Thomas, role fulfilled in Seattle. Good on them.
Yep. Back at it. I think we talked about this back when the Jalen Ramsey trade happened. I thought we would see a little bit more of this, you know, the stars kind of dictating that they wanted out and making it happen. Jamal Adams, the latest case of this. So Jets continue to be the Jets, and the Seahawks, you know, add a piece that can, you know, try to keep that Pete Carroll saga alive on the defensive side of the ball.
Saga. Before we get into these two articles, let's get back to the draft.
Yes. Oh, yes. It's interesting. Right after we picked, a Diggs dude went. Deshaun Watson went right after that. You know, some middling tight ends, Evan Engram, Tyler Higbee, Gronk, Hunter Henry went. Not a lot of running backs, so I think we're going to be pleased with our options swinging back here. I mean, not pleased in the sense of who they are, but not many went. Cam Akers, Raheem Mostert, Kareem Hunt, and DeAndre Swift went. And then we started kind of a run on quarterbacks because after Deshaun went, two picks after us, Kyler Murray, Josh Allen, Drew Brees, Matt Ryan, Carson Wentz, Matt Stafford, Aaron Rodgers all went.
Oh, wow.
And then, you know, a couple wide receivers, AJ Green, Michael Gallup, my boy Marvin Jones, and Julian Edelman, all picked. So, with the limited number of running backs taken, here's who they have up. Darius Geis, Ronald Jones, James White, Jordan Howard, Damian Williams, Sony Michel, and J.K. Dobbins are kind of their top seven options. You get down to some Breida, Philip Lindsay, Tariq Cohen, Tevin Coleman, Kerryon Johnson still down there. Wow. I kind of like
Darius Geis. Whatever happened to him?
Got injured again, but then he came back and was actually pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, it says he's clear to play football this season. That's the latest news I see.
Alex Smith coming back too, baby.
Possibly.
And they have Kyle Allen as the quarterback. So I think people are sold on the, I don't even remember their rookie of last year quarterback. So there's options to change that offense around. And Darius Geis could be a part of it. Is Adrian Peterson still there? I don't think there's anything else there. So I think if we do Geis, we should do Damian Williams. That would be my
Yes, that's exactly where I'm at. Boom. Lock it in. That's exactly where I'm
at. And loaded, Doyles. There we go. Darius Geis.
All right, Jeff, they don't call you the article master.
Oh, yeah.
For no reason.
Miestro de articles. We got
PFF rankings of all quarterbacks. At least, you know, from their eyes, from Steve Palazzolo, dear friend of mine. You know, great, great friend of mine. Talked to him many times. I have. What stood out to you here? Obviously, they have tiers, right? They do all their tiers. I definitely see your third note here, which I guess I could see where they're coming from. Now, little do you know, and I'm sure they probably explain it in the article, was Tom Brady. It was apparently like a PFF darling last year.
Oh, really?
I know. I just kind of like was like, oh, he's 14 on the top 100. I mean, apparently he did. Apparently he was really good with decision making, which he's always been good at. But yeah, was there a lot of chances? No, that he took. But apparently it was one of his better seasons because the talent around him wasn't as good as years before. He was a PFF darling, and that explains why he's in the same tier as someone like Lamar Jackson and Deshaun Watson. So give me your thoughts on this, and other than what I just kind of mentioned about Tom Brady, who else stood out to you?
Well, I think the first interesting thing was that their tier one is Mahomes and Russell Wilson, which is not necessarily an indictment of either of those players. It's just kind of like, okay, you bring in Russell.
So no one else.
And no one else, right? So, Lamar Jackson is the one that, you know, coming off an MVP season, their rationale is pretty much like he's going to regress and he needs to improve his accuracy still, which I get. But, I mean, if I had my druthers, I would have probably created a tier two and then maybe with, you know, your Matt Ryan's, Tom Brady's, Drew Brees's, put them in a tier three as kind of like, here are the super high upside guys that are still, you know, continuing to develop versus guys who have plateaued or are on the downslope. I mean, they have Matt Ryan super high, Aaron Rodgers right after Drew Brees to close out tier two. And then a big shocker, and I don't know if it's that Cam Newton started off the next tier. I mean, we've only listed about maybe less than 10. I think a lot of people are a little bit more wait and see with Cam Newton, but your boy bringing out strong, starting tier three. And I think the upside is definitely, he has tier two, if not borderline tier one upside in his heyday. it's just maybe a little high for me. But then again, I look after Cam, and he's got Joe Burrow. So, I mean, tier three might as well just explode from this point because I don't know. Dak is way down here, and I'm not the biggest Dak guy, even as a Cowboys fan. But I mean, to automatically put Joe Burrow on the Bengals above Dak, I think is questionable, to say the least.
I think the list in that tier three is really heavy. I think the difference between tier three and tier four is way bigger than they make it seem like, because you listed all those quarterbacks in tier three, and there's way more. They have Kirk Cousins, Phillip Rivers, Baker Mayfield, Roethlisberger, Wentz, Stafford, who else? Garoppolo, Goff, Derek Carr, Tannehill. Think about it, like, that's so many. They have, it's pretty much like, I think, what they're calling the Dalton line, maybe. For those who know what I'm talking about there. Because the next tier is Ryan Fitzpatrick, Sam Darnold, Josh Allen, I guess, Gardner Minshew. So it definitely is a big drop off from tier three to tier four. And I don't know if they're saying, you know, the first quarterback in tier three is better than the last quarterback in tier three. I think they're just saying these are the groups that have the ability to move up a tier or not. Okay. Because if that were the case, then yeah, that means they're saying Joe Burrow is better than Phillip Rivers. I mean, is it in alphabetical order or anything? No, it's not. Okay, so I don't know, because they're just saying tier three quarterbacks in post top 10 production in any given year. Joe Burrow, though, like, I am really excited to watch this Joe Burrow guy, because they're saying, you know, the most surefire thing since Andrew Luck, which I think every season they say that, right? Baker Mayfield. Yeah, Baker Mayfield, the most surefire thing since Andrew Luck. Andrew Luck, the most surefire thing since Andrew Luck. So they're just going to trot out the tropes all the time.
Oh, yeah.
But I think in that tier three group, I mean, we didn't even really – I mentioned that whole group of players, but like Derek Carr, Jared Goff, Garoppolo, all listed either along with Prescott or above him, whether or not that's what that means. I mean, that's definitely an indictment, I think. They must be pretty low on Prescott compared to the rest of the league, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean – some people think he's, you know, top three, top four quarterback. So I don't necessarily agree with him. Again, it's a little bit, maybe we're getting nitpicking and the article isn't as crazy as I thought. I thought the Cam Newton thing was high. I thought the Joe Burrow thing was high. I would probably have put in another couple tiers, just smaller tiers. Like tier three, they said volatile or conservative quarterbacks. So, I mean, I wouldn't have Derek Carr in the same tier probably as, you know, Cam Newton or Dak Prescott. He'd probably be in his own, like, with Jimmy G, like, kind of, you know, they've shown flashes, but they need to do it more consistently kind of a thing. So, yeah, I mean, overall, that's where we are in the season. We're coming in. We're making – I mean, what did you think about Kyler? I mean, he was.
I know. Yeah.
They kind of slaughtered Kyler, who's like the darling of fantasy. He's down in the, I believe he's in tier four.
Around Darnold and Josh Allen and.
Oh yeah.
Those Daniel players.
Jones.
Oh God. I mean, I guess it's not about, but it's weird because then you can say, then why is Joe Burrow higher than him, right?
Yeah.
Like, at least Kyler Murray has that year of experience. If you're going based on potential, then Kyler Murray has this season to really show everyone what he's worth with all this talent around him now. And, of course, a year in that system. And they somehow finished 7-9 or what was it, 6-9-1 or whatever their ending record was. I might have just made all those numbers up. I don't really know.
I believe you.
I thought they had a tie in there somewhere. Yeah, I thought they had a tie in there somewhere. I think I'm fine with him. I don't have a hatred toward him like you with Derrick Henry. It is just more the fantasy aspect of hatred of Kyler Murray. Like, you know, we're really debating Kyler Murray or Deshaun Watson in fantasy purposes. Like, come on. Like,
yeah.
Get out of here. Question.
It's no question.
It's obviously Kyler. Next little, or actually, you know what? Wait, let's do another. We're still in this mock draft. Oof. Yeah. Let's go back to mock.
Still in it. I'm upset. I'm a little upset with us, Will. I don't think we scrolled down far enough on the old running backs.
Oh, here we go again. Here we go again.
A couple picks after us, Marlon Mack went.
This conversation happened 2 weeks ago. This literally the same.
Yes, the same conversation happened. So
it is. I could copy and paste that.
Yep. So we won't dive into it, but you know, Marlon Mack went.
I should have scrolled down. Okay.
Brandon Cooks, Will Fuller, John Brown, Christian Kirk, Jameson Crowder, Darius Slayton, Mike Williams, Sterling Shepard, Deontay Johnson, and Mecole Hardman. So a bunch of kind of high upside.
Mm-hmm.
You know, who knows where most of these guys' floors are at. Got picked. And then, yeah, just some throw up at running back. I mean, we're in the Breida. You know, Sony Michel territory.
Breida's still available? I mean...
No, Breida was picked.
Oh, sorry. You said the Breida zone. Sorry. Okay, so right now we have three wide receivers, a quarterback, a tight end, and two running backs, right?
Three running backs.
Oh, we have three running backs right now? David Montgomery. Yeah. Oh, yeah, we have Montgomery, Williams, and Geis. And we have three wide receivers, three... amazing wide receivers. Yes. Is there a running back left that just is super, you know, just you're gonna have to read them off to me. I don't know.
Yeah, so these are the running backs available right now. Keyshawn Vaughn, Tariq Cohen, Latavius Murray, Alexander Mattison, Daryl Henderson, Duke Johnson, Zach Moss, Tony Pollard, Boston Scott, Naheem Hines. AP is also down a little bit. I'm trying to think about Antonio Gibson, I guess, is also in the Washington mix.
Chicago, do we go Tariq Cohen? Just because we just take him because we got Montgomery and just, you know, back him up?
Yeah, I don't know if he's that.
Just to be safe.
I don't dislike it. I mean, I liked Tariq Cohen as a player last year. I think... You know, he's got that quick twitch. Just needs to be used in the right way. I don't see him as necessarily a handcuff to David Montgomery. Mm-hmm. They're kind of different players.
Yeah.
But I'm not opposed to, you know, if he delivers value, he can move in. I mean, like we said, we just need upside plays. And I think of the people we listed, he probably has the most upside. Most of these other guys are in the handcuff territory. Duke Johnson may be a little appealing, but I'm okay with going Tariq Cohen if you are.
I mean, all those players are kind of the same. Duke Johnson, Tariq Cohen. I don't even know who Keyshawn Vaughn is. I could no idea what team that player plays for.
He is, I believe he's a rookie on the Bucks.
Oh, that's the one that's like supposed to be the Tom Brady savior, right?
Yes.
Let's see. I don't know. I guess I'm just saying Cohen because it's an easy kind of approach from this side of things. So I would go Cohen, and then wide receiver. I still think there's a lot of. I think Darius Slayton is a really good high one. Mecole Hardman's a good like high player. Which one speaks to you wide receiver wise? I like Darius Slayton. I think he was kind of a monster for a little bit.
Sure. Why not?
All right. So Slayton and the other guy, Tariq Cohen. Boom. Couple of NFC North. No, Slayton plays for the Giants. All right. That was a fail.
All right. Hold on. My computer is having issues. Tariq Cohen.
Just to kind of segue.
Value pick.
Some note.
Value
pick. Hello, baby. Autoplay. Wow. Oh, I got a value pick mention. All right, cool.
Oh, there we go.
All right, Jeff. I want to kind of wrap things up here. We're getting long in the tooth, and I got to get out of here soon. But I do want to kind of mention this article you posted, because I saw it, actually, before you posted it on the rundown. And this is actually one of the ones that, you know, MJD, we linked one of his, like, top running backs before. I think not – it was like last season or whatever. But this time he's doing the top 10 most talented teams. And, you know, not crazy. Not a lot of disagreements in my mind. Maybe, like, you know, maybe move a team up, move a team down. We went over this. What was it? What was that guy who I hate at ESPN who blocked me? What's his name? Barnwell. We went over his top talented teams, and he's an idiot. He's the one who says the Giants were like number 3 2 years ago. Remember that? That we went over that list. This one, MJD, a little more common sense than him. So he's got the Saints and Falcons number 1 and number 2. And you actually commented on the Falcons. Are you vindicated or is the article crazy? The Falcons are very talented, and I think everyone can kind of agree with that. They are kind of like the Chargers in terms of injuries have really hurt them, especially on defense over and over. You got the Buccaneers in there as well, so 3 of those NFC South teams in there. Is it kind of shocking to you that the Chiefs aren't number 1, though?
I think it's just because of the defensive. Like, I think it's a composite ranking, right? Thing. So, it was a little shocking because I feel like their offense kind of pushes them up a little bit. And the Bucs are pretty much riding on, you know, name talent for a lot of it with Gronk and Brady.
Steve Carell and Jennifer Aniston's, if you will.
Yes, if you will. I mean, the offensive talent is second to none. They don't really even make mention of their defensive side of the ball. So I think it is a little shocking that the Super Bowl champions are behind the Falcons. I thought the Falcons were just maybe a little high. I think, again, a lot of good names that – a lot of first-round picks that maybe haven't panned out. So it is shocking. It's not super shocking. Chargers made it at number 8. I thought, you know, a little love there, which was nice. And the Cardinals were one that was a little bit of a head-scratcher at number 10. They weren't exactly a good team last year. And I guess, yes, they added DeAndre Hopkins. They were not very good.
Yeah. I think there's one team I would trade out and put in. The Cardinals at least are at number 10. So, like, they're on the edge, right?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, again, I get it. You made the Super Bowl, but you didn't win. Listen, 49ers, I get it. You're good. You got a good defense. You got a, you know, an okay offense. But I don't think you're the 6th most talented team in the NFL. I think... the Jim Harbaugh teams, those teams were stacked with talent. I mean, those teams had so, you know, you had Frank Gore, who was still in the league. You had Vernon Davis, you know, you had Alex Smith or Colin Kaepernick, whoever you want to pick. Your defense was absolutely stacked with tons of standouts on that team. 49ers, I mean, what? You got George Kittle, Debo Samuel, I guess if you want to call him a star. I mean, he is hurt.
Yep.
Defensively, you got a couple linemen. And Richard Sherman was good last year, but I wouldn't, you know, that's not the reason your team's the 6th most talented team. I just wonder, where are the Browns?
Nowhere. Like,
if we're going to talent, we're not talking about execution or how they're going to, if they're going to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Just teams that are freaking talented.
Big names.
They got what? Can you say, like, the greatest, maybe the best skill positions in the league? They got Baker Mayfield, Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt is his backup, Odell Beckham, Jarvis Landry, Austin Hooper. That's just a great core of offensive players, and they have a great defensive side of the ball. Whether or not they execute or not is different. So I don't know why the Browns aren't there, and why, you know, a team like the 49ers, even the Steelers, to be honest, are there.
Yeah.
That's it. Jeff, I need you to read our mock draft team and pick one or two that you think are kind of comparable or are you scared of. Our mock draft team, or you can even compare it if you could find what we had 2 weeks ago. I don't know if you have that locked and loaded.
I don't, but I'm going to just go out on a limb and say I liked our other team a little bit more. I mean... Our team right now, we're looking at Russell Wilson at quarterback. Who did we have? I'm trying to remember. I can't remember. Someone not Russell Wilson caliber. Yeah, we had two. We had like Stafford and someone else. We got Julio and Tyler Lockett in our wide receiver spots. We're likely starting David Montgomery and probably Damian Williams to start the year. Darius Geis, also an available option. Got Keenan Allen as our potential flex. So it's a solid starting lineup. I just think we're very thin at running back. Especially, you know, if Clyde Edwards-Helaire pulls it out, Damian Williams' value maybe decreases. If Darius Geis gets hurt again, as he's shown year after year, then, I mean, we are in some serious trouble. You know, but there's upside. This team has upside. And Russell Wilson as a solid, solid top five quarterback. Lock that in. so I think it showed me, Will, that I'm probably not doing zero RB. I don't have the stomach for it. When it comes to running back, there are some, you know, one other team has Derrick Henry, Nick Chubb, and Chris Carson as their running backs with Deshaun Watson at quarterback and just a ton of upside guys at wide receiver. So I maybe wouldn't go that far. You know, three of your first three picks like we did last time, which kind of just fell nicely to us with who we got. but, you know, zero RB is maybe in the middle rounds where you can get like a Mark Ingram as your running back one, or you can
steal. Yeah, I think we made that last second decision to not go running back in that fourth round. But I think if we would have taken Le'Veon Bell or, you know, Mark Ingram, like you said, I think our team would have been a lot stronger.
Yeah. I think I would have been much happier with it then having, you know, a little bit more established guy with, you know, a Montgomery or any of the other running backs that we had. So maybe it's a modified zero RB.
Yeah, I think one in your first four. I think that's what we need. I think that's what needs to be good. I like that exercise. I think it kind of opens my eye a little bit. I think doing that helps kind of get, you know, lead the way. And it's about to be August. So next week, little tease for next week. Now we should do the actual projections, predictions, see if we can get the chief on the phone, the chief, you know, the commish on the line. Will there be a fantasy season this year? Is anything going to change? Can we implement rule changes? I think that's what we need to move forward to for next week.
Oh, yeah. I'm looking forward to it already, Will. It was good pod today. A lot of range with today's pod. Liked it.
yeah. All right. Well, we will make it happen again next week. And we're going to, I don't know, shout out to Greg and his Indian matchmaking matchmaking Netflix show, and maybe we'll go over that next week. Peace out.